together and together unto him.
Amen.
If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Matthew 5. And we'll read the first 13 verses, Matthew 5. And let's read them in responsive reading. I'll read the first and then you read the next one. Because everybody knows this is the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes is a declaration. But Brother Moat used to have a good way of talking about Beatitudes. He said, the Beatitudes is be your attitude. And that was a pretty good way of saying it, you know, be your attitude. But it's really a, kind of like a declaration, you know. But then a similitude is a resemblance. So we're going to read the first 13 verses. Now, the first 12 you deal with the Beatitudes, but the 13th is a similitude. If you got a Scofield Bible, you'll notice it says similitudes of the believer. In other words, in likeness or comparison to what you'll find in the Beatitudes. So let's read. I'll read the first, and then you read the next one. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him.
And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. As I said, now the Beatitudes, that's your kind of like a declaration that he was making of what, you know, how to be a the right kind of a person. Now listen to what he says. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of man. See, without the Beatitudes, that's what we are. That's what it would wind up for us to be. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your word and your grace. And we ask you now that you'd bless us and just be with each one of us. Be with those that are traveling, Lord, and take care of them on the highway in this dangerous time, Lord. And just have your way now. Forgive our sins and lead us in your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, like I said, Beatitudes, that's a declaration of what something would be, you know. Blessed are ye when this happens, when that happens. I remember one in there that I wrote down one time. Brother Branham says it's the 11th verse. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Brother Branham says on page 148 of the Ephesus Church, book 3, he said it'll backfire on them.
Right.
See? When they persecute you for righteousness' sake, it'll backfire on them.
Right.
It's going to turn around and be a blessing for you and wind up backfire on them. That's what it is, but it's a declaration of what something should be. But then the 13th verse says, you are the salt of the earth. See, that's a similitude. That's a likeness. But if we've lost, see, those first 12 verses, if we've lost that, then we're not worth anything. Because God can't use us. Right? It's not a likeness of what's there. Good salt is what would be from all of these, you know, things that would happen to make it to where we'd be, you know, blessed for this and that and the other when they speak evil against you and all. See, good salt would stand the test, but salt is no good. See, if it's lost its savior, if we've lost all that, then now if you don't get nothing out of the message today, you just get that part. See, that's you know, is there. And so just remember, pray one for another. Brother Colley will be preaching, as we say, Wednesday, and just keep this in mind and pray one for another that the Lord would be with us. Brother Gary gave a testimony there a few minutes ago of whether the Lord was with them in the trial that they had and the test and everything, you know. And I told him, I said, well, I have one too, Brother Gary. And, you know, when I went for that prostate problem about a year ago, and they run all those tests and everything else, you know, and thought I had cancer, everything in the world, but it all come back negative. And they told me then, he says, come back in about 6 months. He said, we want to run another blood test, what they call a PSA test on you. And said, we want to run another blood test. And said, says yours will be up. It says, because, more than what it is, says, because it, when they do the biopsy, he said, it automatically will raise your PSA test on the next time you do it. And he sat down and drawed a graft out. He says, yours will go this way and then level off. And that's what we want, you know. Well, I got the results back from the test, and he said that your PSA test is normal. So it didn't go up. It was already elevated, so it's really come down. So he said, your PSA test is normal, and he wrote on there that it was good, you know, himself, because he was telling me it would go up because of the biopsy that they'd done. But he said, yours is down, so I thank God for that. I think it's 3.95, and I believe 4 is normal. I think that's right. But anyhow, he said it was normal, and so I appreciate the Lord for that. Now, so I want us to think on something now for a few minutes, this matching pieces. I want us to talk about God's nature. Now, we dealt on it this morning, but I want us to get into something about God's nature. Now, Brother Branham, I gave you this morning, page 9, it's the Mighty God Unveiled before us. He said that God changed in His acts, you know, but He said He never changed His nature. Well, now, if a prophet, if we're going to believe him, then we have to believe that. So then it's not, and I thought about doing it, and I may do it next Sunday, I thought about having the children to read the Ten Commandments. You ever thought about a child reading the Ten Commandments? See, a child reading the Ten Commandments would read them correctly because they don't know anything about what those things are speaking of. You know? I mean, a little bit child, that's able to read, you know. He just barely can say his words, but he can read. See, his mind is not in a condition to where that it would think about what those things are meaning. It's like they say that they were trying to teach those children, you know, to say the Ten Commandments, and said they kept having trouble because the little kids, when they got down to the one where it says, thou shalt not commit, said the little children never could say that, said they'd always say, thou shalt not commit adultery, you know. So that's about the way that the grown-ups want to read sometimes. But I just thought about having that, see, to where we could just think about, you know, God's nature. Because the Bible says a child shall lead them. You know. And he said, now, who's the greatest? And all. He said, bring me a little child. He sat down a child, and he said, now, unless you become like this. See, we get to the position that in this day it's easy to do because it's kind of normal procedure around the world, not just only in this message, but everywhere. See, we get to know a little bit, and we get to reading a little bit, and we have more access to things and all that. And if we ain't careful, we can get to a position that we want to look down on everybody else, see, and think that, well, they're just not what we are. Well, just remember, whatever you are, God made you. See? So then the thing formed can't say, why did you make me this way? Let's don't worry about that, see. Let's rejoice in what that He has made us and just be what He wants us to be. Because, see, like I said, now let a child read the Ten Commandments. See, if they wouldn't read like us, we would read, you know, with, oh, when we read, thou shalt not commit adultery, we read that with a, oh, you better not, because it's just a judgment hanging over your head, see. And that's what people's tried to do with the gospel. They've tried to scare people into salvation.
Right.
To try to get them to be saved because of fear.
Right.
And like Brother Malt used to say, and I was there, and it wasn't maybe as bad as he made the illustration, but he said, now you watch them Baptists, he said, they'll hang you over hell like a weenie and cook you, you know, because they're threatening, you see, because, you know. But, see, it's not the whole basics of a Baptist preacher, most of the time, if you listen, is to drive to the end that if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell eternally. See, he's not concerned with your life.
Right.
as he's concerned with getting you to maybe not go to hell. Well, that's fine, but see, there has to be something after that, and you can't scare a person into being saved.
Right.
See, there's no way. It just won't do it. You may be able to, at certain times, you know, right in the middle of a cloud, like maybe it was happening like Monday night there, it was so bad, you know, you could probably get a lot of new converts. You know? Who was it? Sister Gayle? Sister Gayle said, there we was, and all that bunch of heathens. Said, I thought about going down to Brother Dale's, Brother and Sister Dale, you know, because they was up at the campground and everybody there, but
playing cards
and everything. But, see, you know, I'm just the kind of a person that I don't believe in scaring anybody.
Right.
I don't believe in teaching your children, if you be mean, Jesus ain't going to like you.
Right.
Just beat the daylights out of them. You know what?
Right.
You say, well, Brother Dale, you're not going to be like that. Well, that's a whole lot worse than trying to scare them. Just give them a spanking. You don't have to beat them hard. You know what I'm saying? My own kids would tell you Daddy didn't beat them like that. But I'm just getting a point. See, just the rod of correction is a whole lot better than all of the fear you could do, because
right,
quick as they get away from you, they're not going to be afraid of you.
Right.
And after a while, they're going to grow up and find out you didn't mean it anyway. You know, you say, boy, you do that, I'm going to beat the daylights out of you. Well, 9 times out of 10, you don't do it. See? Well, after a while, they find out, well, hey, they ain't going to do it anyway. That's just big talk. I better go do it to keep them from talking some more. You know, and kids, they learn psychology. But now listen, get my point of what I'm saying. If we read the Bible as a child read the Bible, if we read the Ten Commandments as a child would read the Ten Commandments, it might come out to be a little different story than it is the way we read it sometimes. See, we read the message and the Bible and things a lot of times with already preconceived ideas in our mind of what's right.
Amen.
See? And the way that it ought to be, et cetera, et cetera. And then what do? We come out with wrong opinions.
Right.
See? Wrong ways of doing something, isn't it? But what I'm trying to get us to see is, if we're going to look for God's nature, then where should we look? See? If we're going to look for God's nature, where should we look? See? Then we should go in His Word where He was at. See? And let Him be the answer to what kind of a nature to look for. Right? See, then in the Word, we read that there's a blessings for this and a blessings for that. So don't worry about all that. You know, people speak evil against you. You're not supposed to speak evil back to them.
Right.
You're supposed to be the salt of the earth.
Right.
A salt is a preservator.
Right.
See? In our days, we used to put salt. Brother Tatum, some of these brothers can, Brother Tom and us can well remember it. Maybe some of you other city dudes might not, but we took salt and we put it on the meat. You put it on that meat, and if you didn't put it on that right, bud, you lost a bunch of meat, and you was hungry when wintertime come. Now, you had to preserve the meat. It was a preservative, see?
Right.
It does a lot of things that would be helpful to life, you know. Because
right,
really, we couldn't exist without salt. See, if you never ate any salt, still you get certain salts and things like that from minerals from the stuff you eat and things like that, you know. But it's something that's very needful for us.
Right.
Well, but it's needful in the right state.
Right.
So you can eat too much of it.
Right.
But it's needful in the right state, and that's why I got to thinking about it. I just reading those Beatitudes yesterday, and I thought, because I just started reading back through the Gospels like I asked you to just read them, you know, and I thought, I just reading them, and I didn't know, or had the notes for the message, but I didn't have a scripture, and I thought, well, you know, what am I going to use? And I got to reading that, and I got to the Beatitudes, and I read through that, and I thought, well, I'll just do that. I'll just use the Beatitudes for the scripture to speak on God's nature. You know, because that would be blessed are you, and all, like we'd look at Him and see how He was and things. But then I looked down and I saw that 13th verse, and I thought, well, what's that verse doing in there like that? I mean, just as quick as you get all of the blessings for this and the blessings for this and the blessings for this, and He says, you're the salt of the earth.
Right.
And I thought, well, what is that? And see, then it dawned on me that He was saying, you're the salt of the earth, and all this blessings, as long as we're matching up with the life of Christ in that, then we are the salt of the earth. But if we mess up and don't match that part of it, of the meekness and the humbleness and things like that, then we're worth nothing. We're just a mockery of Christianity. See? And that's where we need to get down to. Now let's read a little further. Let's go over about the, keep it in Matthew. Let's go over about the 39th verse and just read a little bit. We'll start on 38th verse and then we'll, you know, read all the way through here because this is Jesus' sermon really on the mount telling people how to be, you know, and what we ought to be, you know, and how that it should, our nature should be. Do you think Jesus had to act meek and humble?
No.
Yeah. I mean, did he have to do those things? See? Did he tell us to do something that he was not able to do? See? Then he wouldn't have been God. See, we're going to talk about God's nature because the only place that I can really read God's nature is in His Word that Jesus Christ displayed because I don't have scriptures to things of just talking about God's nature where I could read it and understand that, you know, that's His nature. You know what I'm saying? Because all that you're reading is always related to something or someone on the earth and tying up. But in Jesus Christ, the prophet said that was very God's nature himself. He said, because he was God. See, that was his way of saying it. He said, that was his very nature on display. He said, because he was God. Well, right, then that's his nature and his ways. Now let's read the scripture. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now here's the nature of God. Here's the nature of God now that we're reading. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now this is still part of the Beatitude sermon. If you know what I'm saying, you look at your Bible, this is still in red letter. Alright? This is still part of the same sermon. You know, that he's saying this. This is the summation of his sermon to the people about the Beatitudes and the similitudes then to match the Beatitudes of the life of the people to match what he'd said. Now he's bringing it to a conclusion. And watch him as he does. Says, give to him, verse 42, that ask thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away, not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. In other words, now if as old saying goes, if language hadn't changed, you know, what's he saying? If language hadn't changed, what's he saying right there? He's saying that if you do these things, you'll prove you're a child.
Right.
But if you don't do these things, you prove you're not a child. See? I mean, is that language to me? See? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? Now listen. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now he's bringing perfection into view. He started talking about your beatitude, as I said, but I want you to say that's being your attitude. You know. He's starting out about your beatitude to start to telling you of a declaration what a Christian is like, you know, blessed are ye, this, that, and the other. This is going to happen to you. They're going to do these things. They're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you. They're going to do all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. And if you buy up under it, you prove you're the salt. You ain't lost your Savior, but if you don't, you've lost your Savior. You ain't worth nothing. See, now he comes on down into his message, and he just keeps on coming down, you know. I'd like sometimes, maybe if I ever get one of these days, get enough time, I'm going to start doing something more of these like this. See, to me, I get into Scripture, and I just go from verse to verse, see what he's doing.
Right.
See what's going on, you know.
Amen.
And to me, it tells me a lot, because see, here it finally winds up that he starts talking about, don't do this, don't do that, you know. In the Spirit, not a do's and don'ts.
Right. See?
Somebody smite you on one cheek, turn the other one. See? See, in doing all of that, keep the right attitude, keep the salt, because you'll even save not only yourself, you can save the other person by the attitude that you're displaying.
Amen. See?
And he keeps coming on down through it, coming on saying, by these things you prove you are the children of your Father. See? And then when he finishes up, he says, be therefore perfect.
Right.
You know what a perfect person is? One who's come through all of these things and come out with this right attitude.
Right. That's good.
Uh-huh. He started in the beatitude and went to the similitude, and then he got over to his attitude. To where that it would be us living in Christ. Now, what I'm asking, the reason I'm starting this way is, I believe that was the nature of God on display.
Amen.
I don't believe he would write something to us. I told Sister Hazel, she went to sleep today, I was going to get me some water and sprinkle her. It was life in this morning. She said something about pouring water on her. I said, well, I'll just keep this water up here and I'll just sprinkle you like that. You know? So I may have to sprinkle you too, but you know, hard to get all over the whole congregation. But now listen, we're talking about the nature of God. See, just put it on there, God's nature. This is message number two, matching pieces. God's nature. Because if we're looking now, and the prophet said, that's what was on this morning, that the same ministry, see what people talk about sometimes when they say ministry, they think you're talking about preachers or something, you know, or something like that. That's basically their mind's eye view is when you say ministry. Well, the Bible says ministration.
Right.
See? Which means your whole makeup, your whole life, your whole doings. See? Where would you fit that way? See, the laity could say, the sisters could say, well, we don't have anything to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ because we're not preachers. But you do.
All right. Amen.
Because it's a body.
Amen.
You're not talking about something that's unrelated to you. The children have your place in displaying the ministry of Jesus Christ. On Christ the mystery of God revealed, I believe what the prophet said. He said it's everything. He names off a bunch of things, you know, the life of Christ and the word of Christ and this. And he said, and it's just all Christ, see, together. All right, then, if that's true, then, Jesus being God himself, he was a display of God's nature.
Right.
Now to me, when the prophet said the ministry of Jesus Christ has got to be back here, that's not just meaning a preacher preaching. It's not just meaning, I said it this morning, I said it over and over. Brother Branham would be the greatest one to look at to say the ministry of Jesus Christ was here. And we know it was in the signs and the wonders and the manifestations and the things. Surely that was the very repeat of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Sure, we know it was. But that was not the finish up of what the prophet was saying when he said the ministry of Jesus Christ has got to be on the earth to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it's not, now I don't, well, I won't go into that. Just let it, just be what it is. But listen, that ministry has got to be here. And to me it means the whole life of Christ. All right? It means just what I've read to you. And Jesus Christ was a display of God's nature. If you ever want to know what God was like, just read about Jesus, because he was God.
Amen.
He wasn't just a person anointed with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He was very heart, soul, and all God.
Amen.
The body wasn't created by somebody else, so it belonged to God. And the prophet said after his death, burial, and resurrection, he said it wasn't eternal while he's here, but after his death, burial, and resurrection, he said now the body of Jesus is eternal. So it's very body, the very body of God is Jesus Christ. Right? See, then, if we're going to look for his nature, just look to Jesus Christ and see what he done. See, then we're talking about the Lamb. See? Revelation 5, talking about the Lamb that come forth and took the book. Right? Now we're talking about comparison. Matching pieces. Comparing what's there. And looking to see if we can find something here. Right? To match that that's there. Then we know that we must be in the right place of our understanding. Right? I mean, that's the way I think about it, see? See, it was the nature then not of a lion. Lion is not mentioned in redemption. Lion is kingship, rulership. See? Those things come into view with the lion. Right? But it's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Redeemer is the Lamb. The Lamb on in Revelation 5. That is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
See, then that is very God Himself in attributes as a Lamb. I read to you there, quoted to you this morning from the prophet. That's the attributes of a Lamb. You can't put the attributes of a lion and the attributes of a lamb down together at the same time. You got to let it immorphy from one to the other, just like it's not Son of God and Son of Man at the same time being made manifest. Sure, it takes the Son of God for the Son of Man to be here, but the Son of Man is what's being made manifest. See? That lamb that was here upon this earth was the Son of Man. Then he died, made a way, loosed the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost come back at Pentecost. The Lamb wasn't recorded between those periods of time. See? Because that'd be the ministry of Jesus Christ. See? Then here comes the prophet, not as a lion or a lamb.
Right.
See? He comes forth in representation of an eagle. See? Not a lamb nor a lion. But then he gets in there, he says, look at it. You remember the lamb and the dove? He said, look at that. He said, the dove leading the lamb. See, when he get to it to show his ministry coming down, wasn't the ministry of judgment? Judgment is when you turn down grace, you're already judged.
Right.
I was trying to say that this morning. You've already made your own judgment. The condemnation's done. This is condemnation that light has come into the world.
Right.
And that men love darkness more than light.
Right.
See, there stood the very light itself.
Right.
The Lamb of God.
Come on. Amen.
And he would stand right there and say, the Son of Man come to do this, to do that. And here he was, making it manifest. And one day we want to get into comparison of that ministry that way. But what I'm wanting you to see now is that see, you don't have a line in attributes, I'm trying to say. You don't have a line in attributes, see, here upon this earth. That's why it's not mentioned very much. You have a lamb.
Right. Amen.
In attitude.
Right.
See? Which is the attribute of God.
Right. Amen. Right?
Now, we get to judgment day. See? That's what I was saying this morning. We get to judgment day. Then you can change him to a lion. Sure, he's coming king. Sure, he's coming to be a king here on this earth in the bride. But that doesn't change his nature.
Right.
Now there's a whole lot of difference between a lamb and a lion.
Right.
That's why people get that confused. But in Bible terminologies, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
That's who he was. Right. So then that's not hard. See, you're not putting two different animals.
Right.
You're dealing with his attributes are what's being displayed for the time. Like I said, John the Baptist could have plainly said, look here's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because he knew who that was. But see, instead of he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." See? Because he knew what he had to do. Sure, Jesus even said, talking about a king there, when Pilate or whatever, which one it was, came to him, you know, said, "Are you a king?" He said, "Unto this end was I born." But he turned right around. He said, "Now listen, this is not mine here." He said, "If it was, my servants would fight." Showing that wasn't the time for that. Showing there wasn't no place there to put that. But he said, "Unto this end was I born." See, he didn't say, "That's what I'm doing right now." See, he was the Lamb of God. And the prophet didn't say, one day a lion is going to come back in the last days and going to have the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man would be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. The Son of Man would push you right back into the Gospels. And then that Gospel is the very God Himself. Brother Gary and I used to talk on this for years about it, see, of the Gospels. That's the very God Himself on display.
Amen.
When He come down to that place, He said, "I am the resurrection." There wasn't nobody around that could argue with Him.
Right.
All the devils in hell could doubt and do all they wanted to, but He just stood right there and called for it. Well, I believe somebody's going to stand in the last days and do it. That's what I want to get to it one of these days. I want to take his life and just see if we can find it, maybe. But what I'm trying to drive the point now is to get you to see the Lamb of God is the nature of God, the display of God, and that was in Jesus Christ. And no matter where you put it, He doesn't change His nature. Even if He sits in judgment. In judgment, He does not become a roaring lion, as we would think of hatefulness or anything like that. We sit with Him in judgment.
Right.
The greatest condemnation that's at any time is to walk away from love.
Right.
You condemn your own self knowing that. You might justify it if you're kind of mad, but how could you if you love the very thing that was condemning you? You can't do it that way, can you? But now listen. What is the nature of God? It was the nature that Jesus Christ put on display. They said, if they smite you on one side, turn the other one.
Right.
So if a man sues you in court, take your coat away and just give him your cloak also.
Right.
You know? I mean, he puts everything down to us into a life. That life on display, I think that's what the ministry is. Because it takes the laity as well as the preacher. See, if you just put the ministry into the preaching, you're going to leave, as I said, the laity out of it. But put it all in there together. The laity has just as much to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ, the way I see it, as the ministers do. It's just into what we're doing.
Right.
See, it doesn't make you something to be a preacher. You know what that makes you? That makes you the lowest, according to the Bible.
Right.
Makes you servant. Because that's just what it does to you. But now listen. See, when we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, we look over in Revelation 5 and it'll compare. We look over in Revelation 5 and we find that Lamb. We look back into the ministry of Jesus Christ and we can see that Lamb. Then that's the ministry of Christ. Sure, the opening of the Word is there. Don't misunderstand me, see. I try to drive a point hard and then you just listen to one part of it, maybe sleep through the other part of it and you don't know what I'm saying. Well, maybe I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm trying to get you to see something. See, the ministry of Jesus Christ is His whole life and makeup and everything poured into a church.
Amen.
The Son of Man. That's why I differed with the minister brethren years ago. That they'd say, well, 1963, Son of Man came. The Lord descended in 63. Well, that's fine. I know what happened in 63. I thank God. We wouldn't be where we are today without that. But I don't believe it's all done there.
Right. Right.
I believe it's something left for the bride. She used to be the Word also. She used to become that Word that prophet brought. Like I told you the other day, the walls of Jericho didn't come down when Joshua told them. It was when they went out there and said the same thing Joshua said, the walls came down. See, that's the ministry in the bride. That's the way I believe it. Right. See, then it's looking for it in the people. Alright? See, now listen to what I'm getting at then. But if we're looking for the ministry of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world to return with the same ministry that Jesus had, and seeing the way Brother Branham was, now, you understand me on that without me having to preach for a couple of hours on that? I mean, seeing the way Brother Branham was, Brother Ruby asked some men one time about certain brothers. He'd heard of Brother Branham, but he hadn't, at that time, I don't know where he was in the message or what, but I remember him telling me this. And he asked these men about certain ones, you know, where they were talking about Oral Roberts and different ones, and they would just kind of laugh and make little jokes about something so-and-so, you know. And he said, well, any of y'all ever heard of William Branham? Said, they all got real quiet. And they said, now, he was genuine. They said, now, he was genuine. Like one man said of him, you know, I don't know where it was, Osborne or whoever it was, but one of them said, here comes a man living what we preach. Right. Now you see what I'm talking about? With all of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and knowing the way he was and what he done in his life, and we're expecting the return of that same ministry, which would be word and life and everything together, and seeing that Brother Branham came forth with such a nature of ways of doing. Now Brother Branham wasn't a sissy. I don't believe, Brother, that Jesus was. Brother Branham was a man. He was a good example, you know. He stood firm on his doings and ways and things, but yet he had a love about him till they claimed they could just about lead him just anywhere, you know, and all. He was concerned over in Africa one time where he was going to get home or not. He told it himself. Billy Paul did it. And he went the wrong way with them men. He let them lead him wrong. Remember over in Africa that time. And God made him sick. No. But what I'm saying, that man had a meekness and humbleness about him that he could rip you to pieces with the word. But yet you didn't hear him. You sisters. Now I know when you first heard him, you thought it was, you women won't let your hair grow out, and you do this, I ain't even got enough of it to be like the woman would at the washing of Jesus' feet, and said you couldn't even, you got to stand on your head. Well, when you first heard that, you didn't grin too much about it. Right? You didn't smile too much about that, because it didn't, it was kind of offensive, you know. But after a while, you seen he wasn't saying that like you first thought. See, then you begin to see that he was telling you in a different language. You begin to see that he was really concerned for your soul. See, it makes a lot of difference when that happens that way. All right? But now, see, in that, then I'm just asking you what I did this morning. Why all the roaring of the lion?
Oh my. Right.
Why all the roaring of the lion of the people of the message?
Come on.
Why all the preaching of the do's and the don'ts and the what's and the ins and outs and the ups and the downs and who's to follow and what's to do and what this is and what that is and what's going on? Why all that when we got one message? Is it that the people don't see it that way? I mean, that's the only sensible answer I can come up with. They don't see what the prophet was saying. Yet it's like me and somebody, I'm on Brother Gary or Brother Richard, one was talking about it yesterday. But yeah, I believe Brother Richard. You know, people come up and they say, well, I got 400 or 500 quotes on this. There's a certain group of people one time, I heard about it here not too long ago, and I believe it because I was around them and never heard of it, but said they just took the computer and run off all the things that women ought to be and just made a big book at it and give them all out. You know, they said give all the women. Well, I guess they didn't have none left for the men, but because men don't need it, because they always preached, is your wife worthy of the gospel? You know, they didn't preach about the men. But see, what I'm saying is, church, why all the roaring of the lion?
Right.
It's like the man said that time. He said, all the thunder and the lightning, no rain. You know?
Right.
Well, see, that's about the truth of it. You hear a lot of thunder and lightning, no rain. That don't fit too good.
Right.
Well, see, Jesus displayed the nature of God, which was the nature of a lamb, not the roaring of a lion.
Right.
I remember preaching one time on this, so even if you took the lion correctly, you know, a king writes laws without raising his voice.
Right.
You know, back in the days of the kings, go to the Medes and Persians of the Bible and see that they couldn't be altered. See, that's why that it would come up to something like Esther, you know, and they'd make a decree. The king couldn't take away his decree. He had done signed that into decree that they could kill those Jews. He could not change that because the laws of the Medes and Persians, the king had spoke. So he just had to write another law that could protect himself. But get what I'm saying, see, a king writes laws without raising his voice. He doesn't rule by that type of rulership. God doesn't rule by lion. He rules by love. He doesn't rule by force. Because he knows that won't work.
Right.
You rule by force, you just get somebody that's got a little more force than you got, and you'll find out they'll change ranks in a hurry. I was sitting here a while back thinking about somebody. I got to thinking about it. You know, you get a ship going down. I mean, I know I think funny, but you get a ship going down, you know, rats is the first one to leave. Because they find out that thing going down, they're the first one to leave. But you let it go just a little piece and not sink all the way, and everybody jumps overboard, and them old rats is out in the water swimming around. Well, you let them smell that cheese up on that boat, they'll be the first one to get back in, too. You know, so, I mean, that's part of my ministry. It's just something I was thinking in myself. But what I'm getting at is, see, we think it's ruled by force. It's not.
Right.
What happened to Adolf Hitler was he brought his army under subjection by rule of force.
Right.
Had he been able to bring his army under a rule of love, he could have conquered the entire world.
Right.
It's not a rule of force. It will not work. You just, like I said, you just get somebody with a little more force and he'll take your army away from you. But you get to where that you've got love, like the man that we all heard the prophet tell of, Otto von Winkler, or whatever that was, that loved Sweden so much until he died for it.
Right.
Then he just established into their hearts a rule of love. And they couldn't conquer him. What's the difference in them from 1 minute to the next? The heroic display of love.
Right.
And them just following that. See, God doesn't want to rule by rule of force. I don't want to rule my children because that I can.
Right.
I mean, I don't like that, you know, where it says, well, we'll play with my ball, I'll take it and go home, you know. That's not true. You don't raise your children with that. Because you'll lose them.
Amen.
Raise them with love that when you correct them, you spank them and you tell them you're wrong. You chasten them. You tell them, this is it. Stick with it. Because they'll find out then it's love. Like I used to tell the kids, I said, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I know they didn't understand that when I'd give them a spanking, which was very few, but I know they didn't understand that. But you ask them now, do they understand that?
Amen.
See, they've got the wrong to have to whip when they do wrong.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the Bible where it says beat a child that won't die. I don't believe in child abuse.
Right.
I don't believe that's what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about the rod of correction. And placing it there in love, never with the idea of anything other than love on display.
Right.
Because that's the nature of God. You say, well, brother, we know that. Well, do we though?
Come on.
Do we? Do the people of the message know of that? Why do they follow so much rules and regulations? Why is that done? Why is it so hard to preach real grace?
Right.
Why is it so hard to get people to understand grace? Because they're too much under a line.
Right.
They're too much under the force of power. Now listen to that in just a minute then, see what it is. See, God is not king and Jesus a lamb. God is not a king and Jesus a lamb. Jesus was very God himself made manifest as a lamb. Someday he'll be made manifest as a lion, judge, king. But he'll still be the same lamb. There won't be nobody at judgment to argue about it. It won't be a judgment day where you can plead your case and bring up all your witnesses and spend 6 years or something like they do in court now to try to prove you didn't kill nobody when you're standing there with the blood all over you. See, it's not nothing like that, because judgment day ain't going to be what we think about judgment day here on this earth. It's going to be a very deceived bunch of people that comes up there and argues with God. Now, I know the prophet what he said about it, but he said that really most of them will just walk across and bow their head and won't never say a word. Now, that's his way. He said, because they'll know.
Right.
He said, the ones that won't, he said, will be those that's in the Bible that said, how I cast out devils and preached and done this, that, and the other. He said, there'll be preachers and things walk up there and say, look what I've done while I was on earth.
Right.
He said, depart from me, I never knew you. He said, most everybody just go by with their head bowed. Because you look up there, you're not going to look up there and see a lion.
Right.
You're going to look up there and see the Lamb of God. You're going to see the nail print hands.
Right.
You don't have to say a word. But you said, but Brother Dale, I don't think God is a sissy. I don't think he's a pushover.
Right.
If that's your problem, I don't think you understand his nature. See, Jesus Christ was the very nature of God.
Right. Yes.
The very heart of God, the very God himself. He was the one that told us the Beatitudes. He was the one who told us what to do and what not to do. Even John. Go back and read John. I just reading on him yesterday. Go back and read John the Baptist. You know, he done a pretty good job of telling them how good to be. He even told the soldiers, he said, now don't do no such thing. He told the publicans, or the tax collector, you know, he said, now don't extract no more than what you're supposed to, you know. And, you know, go back and read him. He even had the right kind of a nature. See, because he was the one to come to introduce the one. You don't think a lion's going to introduce a lamb, or a wolf going to introduce a lamb. He had the right nature to fit him to be the introducer. And that lamb nature. See, what nature do we see? Now you get what I'm saying? What nature do you see in Revelation 5? The nature of a lamb, because that's what it talked of. It even talked of a bloody lamb, see? Well then what do we see in Jesus Christ? That very same nature.
Right.
The mass in pieces.
Amen.
All right. Now, then what nature do we expect to see in the bride?
Oh my. Come on. Amen. Same nature.
Because if we're expecting the same ministry of Jesus Christ to be upon this earth, what are we expecting the nature to be of? What do we need to be looking for? As I said this morning, the prophet said, you know what to look for. Well, what do we need to be looking for? See, what do you expect to see in the bride? See, in the last days, the nature of the Lamb, the ministry of Jesus Christ, is to be in a church That's the nature we're to look for. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what I'm driving at. See, that's the true ministry. Because that is exactly what Jesus was. Jesus was the alive Word. God Himself in a human vessel on this earth with God's very nature, makeup, attributes, everything was in Jesus Christ. Do we agree with that? What is to be expected in the bride then? The Word made alive. The Word made alive. The ministry. See, to me, that's the Word made alive. Jesus was the Word made alive. He didn't have to be something. He just was that. All right, the Lamb to return in the last days is the Word made alive. All right, now is that what the prophet come to do? Did he say on Spoken Words of Original Seed, he said, your ministry will forerun the coming of the Word. The coming of the Word. His ministry was to forerun the coming of the Word. The alive Word, he was to introduce the Word. He says, he said, he'd be pointing to a Word born bride at the coming of Jesus Christ. Alright? Now, then just think with me for a few minutes now what I'm talking about. See, if that's true, then we know the prophet was right when he made this statement. See, everybody wants power.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I mean, all around the message, everybody wants power. It's power pulls.
Everywhere.
See? I was talking to some of you a while back. They said, we don't want nobody's tapes at our church. I said, well, y'all are in the message. You welcome to send all of my people your tapes, you know. Because I, you know. But see that? No. But yet they're going everywhere preaching. See? I mean, I consider it like this. If I couldn't let the brother Theo's coming in August. Brother Pekash was supposed to be here today, and I don't know what happened, but he left the answer there on the answer machine. But if I couldn't let you hear Brother Pekash's tapes, I wouldn't let Brother Pekash preach here. And if I wasn't going to let you listen to his tapes and wasn't going to let you him preach here, I'd forbid you go anywhere without hearing him. You know? All right? I mean, if that's the way I was going to be about it. But see, they'll tell you, so no, I don't want none of my, no, I ain't going to send my tapes to nobody, and I don't want none of my people hearing nobody's tapes. But they go preach. And just travel around all over the world preaching. Well, that just tires me up, because I get tickled about it. I don't want a life in people's face, because I'm not making fun of them. I just get plumb tickled at it. You know, because that's the way I think. If I can't let you listen to their tapes, I ain't going to let him preach my pulpit. If I can't do that, I'm going to forbid you to go hear him, you know. See, because that's the way I'm going to stand on it. But you know I don't do that. I encourage you to listen. Because you're going to hear something that maybe might show you one way or the other.
Amen.
You know, truth or error.
Right. Amen.
It might show you I'm in error.
Oh.
So I don't worry about it. It'll help me. I'm not concerned about it. But what I'm saying is, the prophet said power apart from character is what? He said it was satanic. But he said power, character, power with character was fit to rule. Right. Now, power apart from character is satanic. Well, why would you want to roar like a lion? You see what everybody's wanting to do? You understand what I'm driving at now?
Right. Amen.
Everybody's wanting the power. Everybody's wanting to roar like the lion and all. Everybody, the lion that says, oh, jump up and down, you know, run around. Oh, ain't he the great pretty little king? Hmm. power apart from character is satanic. In other words, if you had the ability to raise dead people every day out of the graveyard, and yet you roar like a lion in your ministry of people, you got to believe me, and you got to come in, you got to hear this, and you got to, then that just don't match my understanding.
Right.
I'm sorry, it just doesn't match that. Because that's not what I've been told to look for.
Right.
I've been told to look for the ministry of Jesus Christ, which was the Lamb of God.
Right. Amen.
Then I look for that to find Christ in character. I don't listen as much as I used to listen to what people say. I listen to try to find out what they're talking about.
Right.
You know.
Amen.
More than I do of the verbal words I say, because sometimes you misunderstand me and what I'm trying to say, you know, and I know that. But I try to listen to people's heart as it talks,
right,
to try to tell me what they're seeing from God.
Amen.
But I can tell also them things it's trying to pull you under. You know. To get you to a certain place. And when I feel that, I just generally got to say something, you know. And I shouldn't do it, but I just generally get my own self in trouble. Well, I mean, I've just made that away because I don't believe in rulership. I don't believe my wife will, bless God, you're my wife, you get up and cook my breakfast, you do this, you make the beds, you do this. No, I'll get up and make the beds, and I'll cook breakfast, and I'll help her. I vacuum the house. I help her. I pick the beans, and I do things like that. I come in the house. I wash the dishes. Not because I have to. Because she'd do it if I didn't. But I do it because I want to. I don't have to be that way. You know. But I'm talking about, see, we look at rulership. Look at the way a man does his home, and you'll find out what he's thinking God is. Come on. Because the Bible talks of the man being the head of the house. Well, I'm the head of this house. You're not under subjection to me. Well, maybe I ain't acting like a king's reason she ain't under subjection to me, you know. But see, I'm trying to get you to see some character is the very thing that we need, the nature of God. See, if we expect to rule, we got to have the nature of the king.
Right.
To rule, we've got to have the nature of the king. And the nature of the king is the nature of God. You remember the story the prophet told on the mighty God unveiled before us about the king that came out, you know, and he told the people, he said, now, you'll see me no more after today for a while, you know. He said, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go to a foreign nation, become an alien or something? He said, no, I'm going to be right here. He said, well, why? He said, well, I'm going out among the people. He said, I'm going to work and do your jobs with you, and I'm going to learn to do everything you do and things like that. He said, well, I can learn to rule you more.
Oh my. Right. That is right.
Hmm? Well, let me learn to strut like a lion where I can rule more. I always did get a life out of comic strips, and sometimes I think they can teach us a whole lot of things. Because I always did like that old lion, you know, roar, you know. King of the lion, the little mouse goes, beep, beep, and the lion goes, pew, you know. I always did like that, and y'all might not, but I do, because, see, I come find out who the king was. All the reason he is king is because of his loud roar. Well, the elephant over there do just squish the lion, you know. I mean, there's plenty of animals out there that could kill a lion.
Right.
It's not necessarily that form, it's just a symbolic form.
Right.
Of what he's counted as king.
Right.
You know. He just got the loud roar. But you let the little mouse squeak beside of him, he'll run like crazy. But I'm just trying to tell you, see, we're looking for the wrong thing. My illustrations may not be worth 2 cents, but we're looking for the wrong thing in trying to find rulership.
Right.
We're trying to find rulership by rules.
Amen.
See, rulership by rules. That won't work. But when you bring the people to a condition that they love the rulership, not because of it being so hard, but it's something they want to be like. It's their nature. It's their makeup. See, something that's just automatic. Like Brother Brown talking about, he said, with a little girl, see, they're just born automatically to love a little doll and the mother things. They're just born that way. It's not something you have to train them. It's a born-in nature. Alright? Then if that's true, the Christian experience should be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But we realize He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He's all the Word. But He's King. What about a lamb being king? What would your subjects supposedly to be? If the lamb is the king, what would be the subjects? Would the lamb like nature that acts that way? The prophet said, if that dove was coming down to light on a wolf, he said it would quickly take its flight. Now, you know yourself in the natural that you could not put together the lamb and the lion. Right? The lamb wouldn't last 2 seconds when the lion got hungry. Two different nature ways. God's not two different nature ways. It's just a way of expressing Him. He's expressing Him as the Lamb of God. But then one day He'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah that will be the ruler. But it'll be the same Lamb. Well, we're reading Revelations 21 and 22 and see if the Lamb's not there. But read and find me the Lion there. Come on, read and find me the line there. The best and close you could find to it would be over where you get to the white throne judgment. See, you can't find that nature. See, because it's not that like we're looking for it. They teach a thing in business type things. I heard about it before. Some of you talked about it, but they teach a thing in business that when you go in to talk to a company, you know, they train you to find out who the boss is. Right? Yeah, you look around and there's all of the suits on. President, vice president, chairman, and you're going to try to get to talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about, and you want to deal with them. You look around, and there's a little guy over there, and his tie's kind of over on the side, and he's got his feet laying up on the table.
Right.
That's the guy you go talk to.
Right.
You know? Because he's the guy that knows what's going on. He's the guy in charge. The rest of them just got the name.
Right.
Why? Because he's got character. See? He's got character. See, Adolf Hitler even said, he says, my desire is to touch the person the furthest from me. See, what he was trying to do was instill into them his thinking. Not the distance away, but the person who differed with him the most. See, if he could touch that person, he had everybody in between. You know, he already had the rest of them, he'd just get down the furthest away. See, but if you can ever get someone to love you, you know, get someone to love you. You know, like this O.J. Simpson thing. They claim that guy that was in that thing with him, you know, they'll probably wind up blaming it on him one of these days. But they claimed that O.J. Simpson could humiliate him just every which way it could be done because he loved him. He just always loved him because he was a good friend. But see, love is the greatest ruling force that there is. Because that is the nature of God. The nature of God was displayed in Jesus Christ through love in the Lamb.
Right.
When that is on earth, it's matching what's in heaven.
Right. Amen.
See, everybody's looking for the roaring of the lion and the great manifestation of, oh, when them thunder sound, boy, bless God, I'll tell you where they are, and they're going to be this, and they're going to be that. Well, God don't have to do all that.
Right.
He just simply comes through and makes himself manifest.
Right.
Walks right out and goes right on home.
Right. Hallelujah.
Because he's the Lamb. See, that's God's nature. God's nature can never change because it's Hebrews 13:8.
Right.
So what we see in Jesus Christ can never change. Because he's the Lamb of God. You see what I'm talking about? I'm just trying to get you to see what's fit to rule. What's fit to rule is the Lamb of God.
Right.
The Lamb of God, he's fit to rule. He's the one over in Revelation 1, he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the one that was dead and I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
See, that same Lord Jesus, I was telling somebody the other day about it. I said, I don't serve a different God than I did when I was in the Baptist church. I said, I just believe more about him. I said, I know him now as a person. Well, then maybe I just knew him as impersonal, but I said, it's the same God. See, because I've never found his nature change. You know, everybody in the message now is preaching dispensations, right? We're in the dispensation of this. They've even got us in the dispensation of the two witnesses. They're even preaching that. We're done in the tribulation, done under the two witnesses. And some of them done preaching. We're under the dispensation of the Son of David and already in the millennium. Of course, you know, I don't believe that, but I do believe in dispensations.
Right.
But I don't believe in dispensations as change of natures.
Right.
Now, I want that clear. I don't believe in dispensations that changes natures. I believe in dispensations, you know, but not dispensations to change our nature. See, I believe in a nature change to fit the dispensation. You know? And then I find out that all of them's the same when I find out that it's the same nature. It's just what I do with it. See, judgment won't be mean and hateful. It'll be looking at the lies of love that once loved us
right.
So much until he died for us.
Right.
Won't be a dispensational change to make him mean and rough.
Right.
Be the same Lord Jesus. Same one standing there looking at us. Because I believe that's what the nature of God is. When we see it on display in the earth, in a bride,
amen.
Then you know your pieces is coming together. Let's stand. Let's stand together. You know that your pieces are coming together.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother Dick, get us a song. Let's just sing a hymn before we go into the communion. And let Brother Colin, Brother Darty, if you would. You know the song I sang for you one time here on the Footprints on the Sands of Time. See, I got that stuck in John 13. And that's the scriptures we use for the foot washing. Because that's the footprints. That's the footprints that we follow. It's what he laid down. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because I don't know how long what will be in it. May take it one sermon. I don't know what it'll do. I don't know how it'll go. Because you know how I get sometimes. I get into something, I'll stay in it for months in one scripture. But I don't know how it'll do. But I want us to talk about that Lamb of God. And just see if we can find anything about that ministry that he had repeating again. We might find out we're closer than we think. Go ahead, Brother Dick. Anyone has a need before we go into the communion?
A wonderful
Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior is me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Can you see that lamb?
Hide my soul in the cleft of the rock that shed.
You know, they thought so much about him. In the natural, they tried to make mockery. But the greatest honor could ever be given was what they done
with his hand.
Died before Pilate.
And he covered.
The Bible said, him being a lamb, he uttered not a word. They beat him, they done everything could be thought of. And then to mock him, they turned around and took some thorns and made him a crown. Pushed it down into his head and he never said a word. Why? Because he's a lamb. Because he was a lamb. Nothing never rose up to fight. He was a lamb.
He hides my life
in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand. And he covers me there with his hand. One more verse and I'm ready. Numberless blessings
each time where he ran and filled with his fullest divine.
Just think about it.
I sing in my rap.
Think about what John the Baptist said that day when he looked up there.
A such a redeemer as mine.
Do you think he would have said what he said if Jesus would have come riding in on a big horse and swinging a sword and killing people and throwing them every which way? Maybe you don't think the way I do on scriptures, but that's why I believe what the prophet said. He said, whom you see the Holy Ghost descending and remaining. Maybe John was walking around all over the country trying to find what he was looking for. Because he was commanded to do that. What if he looked at Caiaphas while he was performing the high priest's office? What if he saw the anointing come upon him? What if he saw some of the other things, like even Barabbas or some of them? Barabbas was an insurrectionist. He was on the Jew side, in other words. Trying to deliver. What if John looked at him? But he didn't see the right nature meet with that dove. But one day he saw him coming out of the water and he said, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. When he saw the nature that was the same as the dove, then he knew who he was introducing. He knew then who it was, didn't he? Think about him. Let's read our scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Where Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned of the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer, just praying one for the other. And just think about that nature that he would hang on a cross for you and me. That he'd go to a devil's hell to pay for my price. Surely he was the Lamb of God, wasn't he? Just open our eyes, Lord, to what you're trying to get us to see in Jesus' name. Amen. See, when they took the bread, blessed it. Father, we thank you that when you took that bread that night, and you gave us a symbol, you said, do this till I come. We know that it come all the way down through there and compared, Lord, with all of the other matching pieces of the word. It wasn't something strange. It was just a little different that night. But it was what everything had been spoken of until that time. And when the moment came, the matching pieces were there. You told them, said, do this till I come. For 2,000 years we've been observing this time. We just thank you, Lord. Sanctify each one of us. Sanctify this bread to our bodies, Lord, that we may all become one in you. We commit it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Behold the Lamb. Because that's who he was. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You see, church, we've seen it already here on the earth, haven't we? We've done seen the matching pieces back there. Now listen, if you can understand what I'm saying in a spiritual sense, if I've seen the beginning and I've seen the ending, you know, then what does it matter about what goes on in between? Because I've done seen the end of the story. I've seen the beginning. It begun with a lamb. That's what I'm saying this morning. It'll end with a lamb. And as it ends, it'll end in a group of people on this earth to match exactly the ministry of Jesus Christ. What about a time? Wouldn't it have been something to have been back there when he was here? How many would rejoice over an opportunity to be able to have stood there and listened to him the night he was breaking the bread? Wouldn't that have been a great time? But see, why look back? Why not look up? Huh? Different hands break the bread, but it's the same God living. It's just living in a manifestation now in his bride. Making himself manifest. See, I believe it. You read those gospels. Just read them over and over. I believe that there's a lot of things already took place that will exactly match the gospels. And that's the Lamb. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wine, and we pray that you would just sanctify it, Lord, and just make us to be partakers of your love. And let that life be made manifest through us, that we can be what you want us to be. Forgive our sins, Lord. Sanctify the wine and sanctify the partakers in Jesus' name. What about a day? What about a time? To have understanding of where we're at and what's happening. Not looking for something, but looking at it. Watching for that nature. And that's what God wants to do to us, is change our nature. See, I believe in a nature change. I just don't believe in exchanging a soul.
Right.
I believe in changing a soul, because that the word change can be used in that form. I just don't believe in exchanging it for something else. I just believe God just takes what's in here and just converts it.
Right. Amen.
Gives it His nature. Places His own life within us, making us Him made manifest then in a many-membered body. And in that way, we've had a nature change. Changed into His nature. The Lamb of God. That's God's nature. That's what I want us to see. So, well, we believe that, Brother Dale. Well, I know it, but I want us to see it by revelation. Me and Brother Richard talking about it yesterday. So you can quote all you want to. You can read all you want to. But until that is quickened to you and I, then that doesn't mean anything other than condemnation. But when it's quickened to us, becomes alive, it shows us exactly where we're at.
Right.
The very day we're living on this earth, the very time, the very moment of time that we're living here. It's right here to where we can see it. Because it's the day and the time, isn't it? Let's all partake together. You may be seated for a moment if you'd like. Well, brothers are taking up everything, and we'll read our scripture in John 13. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The ladies may retire to the back room or to the basement. We appreciate sisters for the dinner and everything today. It was wonderful and we really enjoyed it. We all ate too much, I know, but we really enjoyed it and we appreciate it very much.
Oh, one.